meetings with Suri Nagamma. In May of 1977, Arunachal Bhakta Bhagavat and Dennis Hartel of Arunachala Ashram were on a visit to Bombay. Sri P.V. Somasundaram, along with Sri R. Venkataraman, controller of Defence Accounts, Bombay, took them to visit Suri Nagamma, who was then staying with her niece, where she could be treated for cancer. On a second visit to her, a tape recorder was brought, and she was requested to be recorded for the benefit of devotees in the West. Although Suri Nagamma was suffering severely from pain associated with cancer, she graciously consented. She read from her books, recited poems, one of which she had just written, appealing to Bhagavan to give her his strength and his calm to withstand her physical suffering. Some of these conversations were translated into English then and there. Her recent poem and other parts of the recording were later translated by Dr. Lingeswara Rao of Bhimavaram in Andhra Pradesh. To better understand what Nagamma said in context of her situation at the time, we reproduce below chapter 28 from her 2014 English edition of Letters from and Recollections of Sri Ramanashramam. In this chapter, these visits are mentioned and also the circumstances which made her believe that her end on the earth was near. 28. Endurance. In the beginning of this book, I mentioned that in February 1976, I had had a surgical operation for cancer in Madras, and thereafter I went to Bangalore and Bombay for rest and recuperation. It then looked as if I had recovered normal health. However, in February 1977, pain in back of the left arm developed and gradually extended up to the neck. People said that it might only be some rheumatic pain. I had, however, my own doubts. My sister's son, Dr. G.R.N. Sastry, who was then working as a senior executive in the Indian Petrochemical Corporation, Baroda, invited me to his place for a change, and so I went there. After about a month, the pain increased greatly and a lump appeared in the place of the original operation. The local doctors declared that it was due to the cobalt treatment I had had after surgery and it might disappear after a while. Instead, it went on increasing and along with it, the pain also. I had therefore no alternative but to return to Bombay for expert treatment. In Bombay, cancer specialists were consulted. After elaborate tests, they declared that the lump was cancerous in nature, that further surgery could not be thought of, and that the only hope lay in cobalt treatment, though success was doubtful. Cobalt treatment was immediately given, and as that too was found of little use, it was stopped. The case was given up by all allopathic doctors as hopeless and beyond any cure. In the meantime, there was excruciating pain despite the use of sedatives. That was during the month of May 1977. As there was no hope of cure by means of medication, I prayed to Bhagavan day and night to give me the strength to bear the pain stoically. I also appealed to him in written verses, prayer and meditation were my only refuge. My strength gradually decreased and I became almost bedridden. As suitable arrangements for nursing me at Bombay could not be made, my nephew G.R. Sharma decided to take me to Bangalore by air and actually bought the ticket for me. It was at that juncture that the ashram president, Sri T.N. Venkataraman, and his wife happened to come to Bombay to see their son who was working there. They called on me along with Sri R. Venkataraman and his wife at about 3 p.m. on 14th May 1977. Sri R. Venkataraman is the controller of defense accounts in Bombay and a great devotee of Bhagavan. He practices homeopathy as a hobby. They were all very much aggrieved at the great suffering and agony I was experiencing. I formally handed over to the president the paper containing my prayers to Bhagavan for relief from my pain. Seeing this sad situation, Sri R. Venkataraman took my son-in-law, Sri S. R. Avadani, aside and inquired whether he could try homeopathic treatment, as allopathic doctors had already given up on the case as hopeless. We were ourselves thinking of trying homeopathy, and so the offer appeared to us providential. We readily consented to it. It appeared to us as if Bhagavan himself had sent Venkataraman, one of his devotees, specially for the purpose of treating me. Venkataraman prepared the medicine that night itself, and as his house was very near mine, came to us the next morning and started his treatment. That was on Sunday, the 15th May 1977. From that day onwards, he came once or twice a day and tried one medicine after another. The pain increased considerably in the initial stages and the lump burst open. Taking it as a favorable indication, he continued his treatment until, with Bhagavan's grace, the pain began to gradually decrease. Meanwhile, a Parsi devotee came to me and told me incidentally that his wife had died of cancer, but that there was a Tibetan doctor whose medicine was reported to be particularly effective in cancer cases. That medicine could not, however, be used in his wife's case as her ailment was by then too far advanced. He said that there was a special representative of the Tibetan doctor in Bombay and that he would bring him to my place. 2 days later, P.V. Somasundaram, Arunachala Bhakta Bhagavat from New York, and another devotee from Canada came to see me. At the same time, the representative of the Tibetan doctor also came. The latter examined me and said that his master did not treat patients without seeing them personally, that he was at the time in Tibet, and that I should go there or arrange for his coming to Bombay. I exclaimed, "Oh, going to Tibet. I am getting ready to go on a Kailas Yatra and am waiting for the final call of Ishvara. I am satisfied with the present treatment by a devotee of Bhagavan." 2 or 3 days later, the devotee from Canada, Somasundaram, and some other devotees came and, though I was suffering acute pain, insisted on me reading something which they recorded for the use in Canada. By the 10th of June, there was much relief from pain that I gained enough strength to go out for a walk. When I told Venkataraman that I had been getting ready for a Kailas Yatra and He had upset all my plans. He coolly said that as his medicine had worked, he was sending me instead on an Arunachala Yatra. I do not know whether it was due to his great devotion to Bhagavan or it was Bhagavan's grace working through him, but the lump became smaller and smaller and the pain gradually decreased. I gained strength from day to day and began to move about freely as of old. Devotees in Bombay who had seen me earlier were emphatically of the opinion that the cure was nothing short of a miracle, and the eminent doctors of Bombay who had examined me earlier could hardly believe it. I remained in Bombay till September 1977, when, in the company of my relatives, I went to Vijayawada, stayed there for about 2 months, vacated my house, Ramana Sadhanam, and came away to Madras. It so happened that Sri R. Venkatraman had by then been transferred to Madras, and so I took all the required medicines from him, showed the manuscripts of these Smrutulu to my brother D. S. Sastri, and reached Arunachalam on the night of 27th November 1977. Early next morning, I went to the ashram and prostrated before Bhagavan's Samadhi. It was indeed miraculous that one who had been getting ready for a Kailasa Yatra was now on Arunachala Yatra and could once again prostrate before Bhagavan's Samadhi. Destiny appears to have played a great part, as I am having the good fortune of staying in the ashram once again and writing my reminiscences at the bidding of the ashram authorities. The manuscript I had written has been fair copied by one of the devotees and made ready for printing. On the auspicious day of Makara Sankranti, I placed the manuscripts at the lotus feet of Sri Ramana Bhagavan as my humble offering. Thus, Suri Nagamma concluded her last writings on 14th January 1978. She lived another 2 years and 2 months, often residing in Sri Ramanashramam. About the recording made in Bombay in May of 1977, Dr. Lingeshwara Rao, after listening to it, mentioned that it was hard to believe she was on that day enduring immense suffering because her voice sounded so full of strength and happiness. She first read from her Telugu book titled Reminiscences, where Bhagavan answers questions about certain verses in the Bhagavad Gita. Then Suri Nagamma went on to answer our questions regarding her visit to Bhagavan. She said, "On the very day I saw Bhagavan for the first time, an immense load was permanently lifted from my head. The very moment I first saw him, I knew that I no longer needed to go anywhere else, see any other sadhu, visit any other holy place than Sri Ramanashramam. Bhagavan was thereafter my only refuge." She went on to talk about Bhagavan's Mahasamadhi. "When Bhagavan passed away, I felt as if I had lost everything. A great vacuum overcame me, but gradually by itself left me. Immediately after Bhagavan's passing, there was some instability in the ashram, so I decided to go on a pilgrimage with the hopes that it would serve to soothe my bereaved heart. I visited Kashi, Rameswaram and other holy places, but I longed to return to the ashram. I had heard that things there had settled down, and so I returned." She had just written some verses in Telugu and continued to talk, explaining her reason for composing this poem. A devotee by the name of Krishnamurti wrote to me during Bhagavan's illness that if someone took Bhagavan's pain upon oneself, Bhagavan might have some relief. The next day, I went to Bhagavan and read out Krishnamurti's letter to him, adding that just as he always shared all the sweet things that were given to him with us, he must now equally share his pain. Bhagavan simply replied, Note, this could mean almost anything, somewhere between all right, or we shall see, or even I see. It is difficult to give a definite meaning to his remark. Suri Nagama continued, Now, about 25 years after Bhagavan's Nirvana, I also have cancer on my left shoulder. He has finally granted my prayer after 25 years. However, the pain is intense. So, now I pray to Bhagavan to grant me his strength and peace to bear the pain and the consequences. With deep feeling, Suri Nagamma read out her poem to us. Arunachala Ramana, ever since at your feet I myself laid, my mind sought not another abode. Never had I prayed for any physical gain, bestower of boons, I do so now in pain. Cancer forged in me a dwelling, killing me without killing. I crave not that it disappear, but that I bravely forbear and surrender. Grant me the calm with which you bore your tumor. Make me your daughter, fit to have forever. Loath to see thee suffer, ask I for a share. And now that it is given, my strength has left me. Besides the pain, a share of thy peace, grant me, O Lord, the slayer of disease. Needless to say, Suri Nagama's prayer was again answered and more. She was given the calm and her slayer of disease did his part too. A remarkable cure ensued. She was enabled to reside in Ramanashramam several months after she had regained her strength. Then, when on a visit to Bangalore, she left her mortal frame on 31st of March 1980 after a short illness. Suri Nagama's letters from Sri Ramanashramam will always remain a classic of spiritual literature. No other book has captured the total personality of Bhagavan, not only as a master of masters, but also as a most lovable father, mother, and friend to prince and pauper alike. During Nagama's last stay, Sri Ramanashramam in 1980, when she attended the 100th birth anniversary of her master and Lord Arunachala Ramana, John and Matthew Greenblatt took full advantage of her presence by visiting her often. In a short piece written in memory of Suri Nagamma in the July 1980 Mountain Path, John wrote, We asked her how she remembered in such detail all that took place in Sri Bhagavan's presence. She told us she would leave the hall and write little notes when Sri Bhagavan went on his daily walks. At night, she would sleep till midnight and upon waking, begin her letters, elaborating on these little notes. She always felt as if Sri Bhagavan was sitting by her side. All at the ashram will miss her presence. Her walk through the ashram grounds with head bent in utter humility and simplicity. Her doors were always open to devotees, and at all hours, people would be coming and going. eager to listen to her stories and reminiscences. She said, "It has been a habit with me that I cannot keep anything to myself. Whatever I hear, I want to tell others." Kuji Swami, radiant with the most beautiful smile, exclaimed to us after hearing of her physical passing, "She has not gone away. She has only come to Tiruvannamalai. Devotees all around the world have been and shall continue to be enriched by the treasure she left for us. In those late night vigils, while all slept in peaceful repose, one lady was awake, writing from the depths of her heart. To her, Suri Nagamma, we shall be ever grateful."